Thank you. In the palm of his hand. Praise God. Aren't we glad to have the Durhams here today? Brother Durham's retiring the 1st of December, and they're going to start moving the 27th of November. So,
praise the Lord.
They're almost Little Rockians already.
Well, we got us a P.O. box yesterday, and we started a checking account down here. So that's just one step further. And I really do appreciate this church. It's y'all have been a strength throughout this move, and we couldn't have done it without your prayers and the love that we feel from y'all, and the way you've supported and helped us, always made us feel like we were a part. I never felt like we were outsiders. I always felt like we were just dislocated for a while. God's helping us to get down here, and I appreciate that, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that our journey is just about over. Another month, and we'll be down here. So I appreciate that, and I wanted to. It's good to have Brother and Sister Stafis here, all the way from Olathe, Kansas. Hallelujah! It's good to have Sister Catherine here. I'm glad we're back. She's back. Yeah. Out of the last six weekends, we've been down here five. I don't know if she was here last weekend, but it's been a while since I've seen her in church, and we need to keep praying that God would touch her. You know, it did my heart good when I walked up from Bible study and I saw her, and she gave me just the biggest smile, and I thought, that's Sister Catherine. So I appreciate her being here. And what other prayer requests do we have this morning? Sister Elsie? All right. Sister Elsie's sister. Sister Kelly? Jerry, I'm sorry. Oh, Grandma, yeah. Sister Sandra is home sick. Brother Jerry thinks she's got a head cold or the flu or something. So let's pray for her. What else do we have this morning? I know they always put up the list of prayer requests on the board. Let's remember all those. Sister Gail. All right. The kids and the grandkids. Let's remember them. What else do we have? Well, this is easy. I've been telling Brother Tally here for about a year when I was going to retire. And I thought I was going to beat him to retirement. Lo and behold, he's got to retire before me. He just couldn't stand it. He just could not stand it. When's your last day? 13th. The 13th of November. Thank God for that. And let's pray. That's a step in your life to get used to. Let's pray for Brother and Sister Tally as they enter into this. What else do we have? Sister Wilkins. Okay, yeah, Brother Stewart with his knee surgery. Yeah, let's remember him, that God would give him a quick and speedy recovery. Well, why don't we take all these prayer requests to the Lord, and we could maybe have the ushers come forward to receive the offerings. I like that. Years ago, Brother Smith changed from taking up the offering to receiving the offering. It may not sound like much, but I feel like it's a privilege to give to God. I feel like it's something we can show God that we got this message down in our heart, and we're going to show you we got this message in our heart, and we love you, and we're going to give back our first fruits. And so I appreciate the way that we receive the offering here. All right, why don't we go before the Lord in the prayer, and let's ask God to help us the rest of this meeting and to lead us and to guide us.
Let's remember the work in the Dominican Republic. We've got a general meeting coming up there in February.
All right.
And also, Brother Mark and Sister Sherry are they have moved forward on adopting a baby there, and which is Brother Green's little 2-year-old niece.
Yeah.
And so let's pray. Let's keep that in our prayers for them, that God would assist them in that and help them. All right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. God, for your goodness. God, we appreciate this good spirit, your spirit that we feel here today, God, the way you've moved in and already met our needs, God. Lord, we want to bring all these prayer requests before you, Lord, for Brother Stewart. God, would you touch his knee? God, strengthen him. Give him a speedy recovery, Lord. God, oh God, for all these prayer requests that are listed on the board today, Lord. Undertake, meet these needs, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we love you so much today, God. We're needy people and we need your help, Lord. God, oh God, help us the rest of this service, Lord Jesus. Touch Sister Sandra, God. Touch her today, Lord. Hallelujah. Strengthen her body, God. Bless this offering, Lord. Use it for your work, Lord, for your kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All right. I'll let you sit down, but before you do, just tell somebody that you're glad they're here. Just find somebody and tell them, I'm glad you're here, man. God bless you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother Oates, I'm glad you're here.
Brother Daniels, I'm glad you're here, brother.
Yeah.
It does my heart. It's my heart.
All right.
Also, it's good to have Brother Brother and Sister Thompson back. We missed them last weekend, didn't we? Brother Thompson's been sick and working and sick grandkids. We always miss them when they're gone. Brother York, glad Brother York, he was here last weekend, but I'm thankful. Thank God he's still among the living. I wonder if we could get him to sing a song for us here today.
I am really thankful to be here and appreciate God's hand on my life. And it's amazing how God can get your attention. I really appreciate this church and all the prayers and the people that stopped by and the people that called and all the help that we got. I know my wife couldn't have done it without you guys. And really appreciate your help and your love. And I appreciate God for keeping his hand on me and knowing that I can get through this. Anyway, just keep praying for me and my family, and I've got some chemo in front of me in the next couple of weeks or so, and I just pray that that's going to go real well, and I believe it will.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in the darkness now will safely lead me o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, this ship would sail no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him. For Jesus is a lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, he has shown his light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Everybody that lives around me says tear the old lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. Ain't no use in it standing around. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. Oh, to Him. For Jesus is a lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown His light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Is a lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown His light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for this lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is a lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown His light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Everybody that lives around me says tear that old lighthouse down. The big ships anymore, ain't no use, it's standing around.
Goes back that stormy night when just in time saw the light of that old lighthouse that stands there on the hill. And I thank to Him. Jesus is a lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown His light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse,
and I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is a lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown His light around me,
that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouses, tell me, where would this ship be? And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus, His lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, He has shown His light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is a lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, He has shown His light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is a lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, He has shown His light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is a lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, He has shown His light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is a lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown His light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Everybody that lives around me says, tear that old lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. Ain't no use, and it's standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is a lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown His light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be?
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I appreciate that song. I don't know how many of you know Ronnie Henson wrote that song years ago. And it's been a song that God lifted up and magnified for the world to hear over and over and over. A lot of people don't realize His purpose for writing it, what was on His mind. He's gave this testimony before, but what He was thinking when He wrote that song is that He was raised in Pentecost, and He was raised in under ministers that believed in sanctification and holiness, that believed and taught that the people of God should be sanctified, set apart for the work of the Lord, for God's purpose, and that they should live holy or hallowed, set apart lives from the world, that they are to look different from the world and act different from the world. There ought to be something holy about their life and their behavior. And he wrote that song, said the big ships don't sail by this way anymore. In other words, the big organizations and churches are leaving this sanctified way and holy of holiness. And are becoming, or the world's coming into the church. It was grieving him at that time. He saw, and no doubt heard preachers preach. Most songwriters get inspiration from messages that are anointed of God that preachers preach. It's a lot of the songs we sing in here are inspired songs that our songwriters have got when they heard the message of the Word of God, and they put words to it. God gave them. Gave songs right now. That's happening in the Dominican Republic. They're writing lots of songs that fits this message. Their thinking has changed. Their doctrine has changed, and so they're having to put songs together that fits what's blessing their hearts. There's life in those songs. They get to singing those songs Sister Ann. They have their own culture in it. It takes a little while to try to fit in what they're doing. When you get over there, you just sort of stand with your mouth hung open and wonder, how do I get on this rig? it's a little bit, put you a little bit in awe to try to figure out, you know. Sister Stewart, you know, Brother Green wanted her to sing a song right in her very first service that she got in, and she was still there kind of looking like this, you know, and she looked at me like, what would I sing? What do I do? And she was obedient. She sang the song. But I knew they enjoyed it. And it was, you know, Sister Lynette's got a gift. And she sang her song, God Rewards the Faithful. But she knew that, you know, that didn't really fit with their culture of how they were singing songs there that day. And she felt kind of bad about it, but I thought she did good under the circumstances. I was glad it was her instead of me. Anyway, I'll put it that way. But you know, for her to just step in, you know, cold and unaware of the whole setting, it will take you back. But anyway, and then one of the things she said was she was so amazed at Sister Yolanda. She said, you know, we've had Yolanda sing in the Little Rock Church, but she never sang like this in the Little Rock Church. I said, well, Sister Stewart, she had the same problem over there that you're having over here. She's trying to figure out how to fit in that deal. And, you know, it's different. The culture's different. but it's the same spirit. But God's blessing those people right now with just songs. There's not just Sister Yolanda's writing songs, but several sisters in the churches there they wake up in the night with dreams, and they've got songs running through their mind, and they get up and write them down, and they get with singers, and then they work them out, and then they sing them, teach the congregation, and they're blessing over there. There's life in those songs. There's the one that they're blessing them so much right now. Sister Yolanda was singing it in that last service we was in, and she took the microphone and just threw it, and it hit right on the floor, a concrete floor. I thought, oh Lord, there goes a good sure microphone. And then she went on the floor. I mean, I don't know how she kept from scarring up her knees and her body, you know. She just they just get out, you know, they just get so wild and in the spirit that they can't help themselves. But they've got this song. They do quite a bit of singing where the singer sings and the congregation answers. You know, it's kind of a two-way conversation going on a lot of times. Then they've got this little choir. The sisters sit over here on this side of the platform, and the singers do. And this one song they were singing, what were they were saying? See ya, the you know, Yolanda would sing a little bit, and then they would say see ya, and the song was basically saying la character de Jesus, the character of Jesus. It's sort of like Jesus talking in this song to you. That if his character, if my character is in you and dwells there and works in you, you will have immortality. And they get to singing that. I don't know all the words to it, but they're singing, see ya. Como significa? Como es si ya? Si ya. Si ya. Que a. Yeah, but you can be. It's saying, oh, yes, you can be an overcomer. You can be a believer. You can have immortality. And every time they hit a point in this, those girls would sing, see ya. And then people would sing, you know, the answer to that. Anyway, they've got some interesting ways. But getting back to this song, The Lighthouse, Ronnie Henson's purpose for writing, what was on his mind that he was holding and trying to sing a song to get people to hold on to the lighthouse, that the way, you know, a lighthouse out in the ocean is, it keeps turning. It's sort of, it's a beacon, just like it is for airplane pilots. If you fly high enough, you can see a beacon. I've seen beacons 300 miles away. I see them many times, you know, on a real clear night. If I'm up, you know, like 10,000 feet, I look way off and I see a beacon. Whew, you know, a little light go around like that. And I thought, I'd look at my heading and I'd know where I was going and I'd think, that's right where I'm going. I wonder, could that possibly be Little Rock? I'm 300 miles away, you know, or 267 nautical miles away, or whatever. But every once in a while, I keep looking at it, and it keep getting closer to me. And finally, I'd see this. That is Little Rock. That is, you know, wherever I'm going. And before we had all this technology, GPSs, and Loran technology, well, you had to go by beacons. Years ago, they didn't have all that technology. They had a NDB, which is a directional beacon, a navigational directional beacon, or a non-directional beacon. It went in 360 degrees and it put out a signal, and you just have a little instrument in your plane that when it picked up that signal, a needle would go over, and it would point in the direction of that beacon. And you could dial your heading, you know, whatever your heading was, you could put that heading at 12 o'clock, and then you could look at that needle and you'd know what heading you had to fly to go there. And you just had to keep getting, you know, keep receiving that signal, and you'd fly to that. That's one of the more difficult approaches to make in an airplane is an NDB approach, because all it does is take you to that directional beacon. Wherever that signal's coming from that airport, somewhere there's a little antenna that's transmitting a 360 degree radial signal. Every 1 degree there's a signal going out, and you can pick that signal up and hone in on that particular heading on the compass, and you can fly that heading and you'll go to it. But when you get there, you're just getting to the airport, and if you're in the soup or the clouds, all you know is I'm here, because when you pass over it, your needle will flip over and it'll be 180 degrees the other direction. When you flip over it, you know you've been there, or you reach that destination. Well, you have to have the approach plate, or the, you know, the diagram to know when I hit this, when I get to this, and it flips over, then your diagram will tell you that you need to be at a certain altitude. You need to turn and fly this heading, and fly that heading for a minute. And then you need to turn and fly another heading for a minute, and then turn and fly opposite that for a minute, which will turn you around. And then when you get back to a certain place that your needle will show, you turn the heading of the runway, and you should be lined up for it. And you should be 2 minutes away from that runway, and you should start your descent. And you can only, according to the chart, I'll show you can only go down so low. And when you get that altitude, if you don't break out of the clouds, you just have to climb back up and go around and try it again. Because if you go below that, altitude, you could run into a tree or a building or a tower, or there's something that they're wanting you to stay above that altitude. So you shouldn't fly there without a weather report and knowing what the ceiling of the clouds are. The ceilings are 600 feet, and you can't go below 647 feet. You're either going to have to cheat and take your chances, or you can't go. But then, when it's that close, if your altitude is below 1,000 feet above the ground, then you have to have an alternate airport that's got a better weather forecast than that you have to go to from there, and you've got to have sufficient amount of gas plan to get there if you can't land at that particular airport. But anyway, the same way out on the water, there was a beacon, a lighthouse there, when you'd come into shore, that would help you to know that you're coming into port. You could see it from out on the sea. When you're at sea level, you can see 7 miles. If you're on a flat horizon and there's nothing in your way, out on the sea you can see 7 miles before the sea ends at the horizon. That's how far the natural eye can see before the curvature of the earth. So when you first saw that beacon, of course sometimes you could see it in the sky. You could see it way off. You could see it shining against the clouds. But if there wasn't any clouds, you had to wait till you got within 7 miles. When you saw that beacon, you said, "We're 7 miles from home, boys." And you knew where the port was. Well, Brother Henson's writing that song. He was saying, you know, Jesus, he is the lighthouse. Those that are holding the message of Jesus Christ and holding on to this separation, God separating us from the nature of Adam and the ways that man has went. And Christ is that beacon. We have to focus on Him. We have to know that we're lining up. We're headed in the direction that Jesus went in. He's our example. He's our Savior, our High Priest. He's our Mediator. He was saying so many people have done away with the message. They've done away with a lot of the principles and things that were held. But God, Jesus set up a government when He came to this earth. I just want to say a few things about this today. Just came to my mind while Brother Doug sang, and I didn't ask him. I haven't even talked to him today, so I didn't ask him what to sing. But his song pricked my mind on some things. In Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and the 6th verse, it says, "For unto us a child is born." Of course, this is Isaiah prophesying of the coming of Jesus. "A son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord will perform this." Praise God. Said that that's a wonderful, wonderful promise that God made concerning His Son coming to this earth. "Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end." Thank God for that God will have an everlasting government that will bring peace, that will never lose that peace. We ought to want that government. We ought to want what God has set up for us that will bring everlasting peace. And it said that the government would be upon His shoulders. I was praying here today for Sister Durham. She's suffering with rotator cuff damage in her shoulder, and I know what that's like. I had that in I had it in one shoulder for about a year, and you're never without pain. It don't ever leave you. And then I got it in the other shoulder. And I all along I knew that the shoulder represents the ministry. It's the government of God. It's those that are to govern over the house of God. And I considered all of that. And I knew that God was talking to me. I felt like the Lord wanted me to know how a body can suffer when the government is not functioning properly. If there's something wrong with your shoulder and your body, you'll suffer. I'll tell you, you get your shoulder gets hurt and gets wounded. It brings pain in your neck and in your head in such a way you can't even think straight. I got to where, and I couldn't lay down. If I laid down at night, I would always wind up laying on my shoulder. After a year, I got it in the other shoulder. I thought, God, you must really want me to get this. I must not be getting it, you know. You know, one time, Brother Angelo, Daddy Angelo in Tulsa, he had a sister in his church, one of his faithful sisters in the church. Well, first, this woman came in. She was there, and she wasn't, you know, she was a little different, I'll say. And she got to getting up doing this funny dance. I mean, it wasn't even, you know, I mean, it'd be out of order. I mean, the way she was doing it, it was, and it was always the same manifestation. And it was grinding on Brother Angelo. He wanted, you know, he thought, God, I'm going to stop her from that. Said, if she keeps doing that, I'm going to have to stop her from that. He put up with it for a long time. You know, this ministry's taught to put on charity. And so he let it go for a long time. Finally, one Sunday, he said, God, he said, if she does that again, I'm going to stop her today. Well, sure enough, she jumped up and started her manifestation. And right before Brother Angelo got up, one of his most faithful sisters got up with her and started the same thing. And he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, if one is not enough, I'll give you two. So he said, I thought, all right, Lord, what do you want me to get out of this? You know, saints, let me tell you something. We are in one of the most magnificent operations of God that you'll ever behold in your whole lifetime. That God gives us such practical lessons in here to train us. You know, God, He wants us to allow things and have charity, and He wants us, there's people that don't have the order of God. They don't understand the things of God properly. And there's all kind of people going to come in here before this is over, and they're going to bring a lot of things in here. But if we are too fast, if we don't have much patience, and we're too quick to judge, and we don't have, and our judgment's not pure, and it's not full of mercy and tenderness, we'll hurt people, we'll destroy them. They won't be able to make it. And for a people to have that kind of patience and that kind of temperance worked in them is you won't find that anywhere in the world. You won't find that in the religious world. That people will let people come in here and let things go on in here that we know ought not go on. Ultimately, God's going to bring everything to a balance. Things aren't all together in a balance in here. But if you'll hang around long enough, and if you have eyes to see, that's why Brother Leniger, his last song, you know, touch my eyes, Lord, that I might see the wonders of your love. Touch my ears, that I might hear. Touch my heart, He was still, after all his years of experience, he was still saying, God, I still want to see everything that you want me to see. I still want to hear everything. I want to have my ears open to what the Spirit is saying. And for us to have enough balance and enough temperance and patience and meekness to be able to reach out to all of God's people. And that's why the Bible says, he that's wise winneth souls. It takes wisdom to save people, for people to be saved. But the Bible does say that Saviors shall come up on thee, Mount Zion. There will be Saviors that'll have the same mind that Jesus had. I believe those early church ministers had that. I believe they had something that would save to the uttermost. It'd pull you out of the guttermost, someone said, and save you to the uttermost. It would allow things to take place, and men wouldn't be quick to judge. The Scripture spoke of Jesus and said, a smoking flax he wouldn't quench. If there's just a little spark of fire, if he could just see a little spark of desire in someone's heart toward the things of God, he'd fan that. He wouldn't put that out. You know, you might say, well, they're not worthy. You know, I hear it said every once in a while, and I've said it myself, it's not fair, you know, that someone would do this, someone else would do that. I've talked to ministers that way, and they've told me, look, we don't go by what's fair and what's not fair. That's the way the world looks at things. We will work with the unfair. We'll love those that are unfair. We'll treat them good. We'll woo them. We'll love them. We won't try to correct them when we see they can't take it. You know, some people, if you try to correct them, you'll run them off.